to Eurovision this year.
Oh my god, you're such a good writer. Oh, it's not me, it's Edgar. Who the hell is Edgar?
There's a ghost in my body and he is a lyricist. It is Edgar Allan Poe and I think he can resist. Yeah, his brain is in my hand and it's moving really fast. Don't know how he possessed me, but I'm happy that he did. Cause this song is feeling special and he's gonna make me rich. Yeah, the words are spilling. So you're about to be a star.
Niku cha cha cha, eikä pelkääkään tätä maailmaa. Niku cha cha cha.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And that was Who the Hell is Edgar? Followed by Cha-Cha-Cha, the entry that the people of Europe and the rest of the world believed should win Eurovision.
Mm-hmm. And they came, what, 60, 70 points short?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they did not win. Spoiler alert. We will be playing the winner at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So yeah, that was they were great songs, but I think they really captured that Eurovisioning-ness of it all.
The peak Eurovision moment for me though was, and this is obviously not a radio thing, but in the stage performance, they had a dance move in Cha 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 that could best be described as human centipede.
Oh yes. And I have "What in the Human Centipede" written down in my notes.
it was special. That's what that was. But I still encourage people to watch it, even though it was kind of weirdly disturbing. The whole performance was weirdly disturbing, and also in neon green. Like the whole thing was just, it's fine.
I mean,
it's fine.
Some of the notes I took yesterday was they're really quite something. Sauna Ferris wheel. Not sentences you would expect to hear. Jonathan Van Ness does the Eurovision. That's when we saw Australia. We were like, yes, no, that makes sense. that's the vibe. And then I think I heard someone say a twink turning 45, which is Belgium.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think there was one for Slovenia, which was giving 70s, like 70s, sex appeal, French house bass, I might be pregnant, followed by Harry Styles doing The Muse, Franz Ferdinand, or The Killers.
Mm.
Harry Styles doing The Killers, I think that summed it up quite well, actually, as the that performance.
I thought I liked, to me, Australia sounded like...
You're Slovenia.
What if Duran Duran, but also Journey?
Yes, that is very Australian. Yes, no,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and it was fun because both Duran Duran and Journey are a little bit too much, but they kind of like tempered each other, and it was fun. And there was a keytar, so I strongly encourage people to look up Australia as well to see that. anyway, yes.
So I wanted to give a little bit of context on some international news stories that have been coming out.
Right.
We have talked a lot about the various bills being acted in the United States and, you know, effectively banning the performances of drag, and how some of them aren't necessarily explicit. And we had raised the idea of self-policing and unintended consequences before. Mm-hmm. Now, Texas doesn't have the drag ban in place that Tennessee has, mm-hmm. or that Florida has, but it's looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
But already, the only lesbian bar in Houston has been told by the bar owners, the building owners, that the insurance company isn't going to insure that space if there's drag performances.
Oh, that's okay.
You know what
that's
I mean? Weird. And this is the trickle-down impacts. You know, they're like, oh, you know, but, you know, we're talking about where children and the public and where these two things mingle. Well, it's much easier for insurance companies and business, you know, property owners to say, I'd rather just not get involved.
Mm.
And now queer spaces are being shuttered and closed because they can't get insurance. They can't mm-hmm. get reasonable rent rates. They can't get, you know, the same kind of access that other businesses have. And that silencing effect is not just in the insurance world. Wilton Manors, Florida, issued guidance to all of their city permits, including the city permit for Wilton Manors, Florida Pride, telling them that they need to accommodate the current ban on drag performances.
Okay.
And I believe that Tampa Bay as well has also issued updated guidance, effectively banning drag from their pride activities. It's a combination of third-party actors overreacting mm-hmm. and also self-policing happening mm-hmm. to an extreme extent. And, you know, some of these bans are barely new. They're definitely mm-hmm. not being enforced. But I think we're already starting to see the consequences of it.
It's really weird. Like, you have to go on a state-by-state level if you're talking about these, because some of them are pretty explicit. Like, quite a few of the supposed anti-drag laws never once use the word drag. So I think it's Tennessee has a new law about public performances of a lewd nature that can't be in front of children. And basically the idea is that if you have a family-friendly drag act, you have a drag act where nobody humps anything, nobody twerks, nobody pulls out fake boobs, nobody makes lewd jokes, nobody does anything like that, then it's perfectly fine. But it's more a ban on of adult materials being displayed in public spaces where children can see them. So, I mean, it depends on what state you're talking about. I believe Florida's has to do with children being able to see it as well. So if you had some kind of an event behind curtain walls of some variety, then you could do a pride event with drag. But it's just everything about it is so confusing because two things. First of all, every state is very different from another. And the second thing is that the way it's being reported sometimes is kind of dishonest. Like, I've actually, some of the laws, when you actually read the phrasing yourself, you're like, oh, this is worse than they say it is. And quite often when you read them as well, it's like, well, this is just basically saying don't do nudie stuff in front of children. And I'm kind of on board with that.
But this is my point. You know, there was no necessity for this law. And what it's having is a thoroughly chilling effect. Like, the rule mm-hmm. that you're referring to is it is a ban on drag or drag shows on public property or in any venue where they're accessible to minors. Mm-hmm. You know, so every cafe is accessible to minors. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So now you have eliminated drag brunch statewide, one fell swoop. Because what cafe is going to risk their insurance to host a drag knowing that their venue is accessible to minors? You know what I mean? And it's like, I think that the self-policing and the aversion, you know, what this bill does is it so effectively will silence, or it'll cause people to overreact and blow it up out of proportion. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where 2 months ago, people were doing a drag brunch, having a good time, getting about their business, mm-hmm. nothing ever came of it. But now with this mm-hmm. legal environment, it's a, you know, it's a fight for your rights and a fight to the death. You know, it's the children. It's the, you know, it seems to be just really roiled up. I don't know. I get the sense that you're not seeing the same risks here, but I think what we can already see elsewhere is that mm-hmm. this is having a huge chilling effect.
It is. Part of it is people on either side of the debate misinterpreting the laws that are being out there. So there are places being raided based on misunderstandings of these laws. So, I mean, you could have, there have been a couple incidents of drag performances that were not unfriendly to children. There were no, you know, they're just basically reading Goodnight Moon in a library. They weren't even reading any kind of LGBT book. They were just, you know, someone in drag who went through a security check. They have no shady background. They're there dressed like your auntie who lives next door in a white and red polka dot dress, nothing fancy going on. And then they get raided based on a misinterpretation of that state's new law. So there has been that happening as well. People misinterpreting the laws that are on the books. And I don't know, it's kind of all over the place, the mix of things. I'm also seeing a lot of people saying just things like drag is not the apex of LGBT culture. It is not, it's something that's in the culture, but it's not everything. Why are we choosing this as our battleground? But I think it depends on, again, which state you're looking at. And some of them, it is being used as sort of a Trojan horse to get at other things, such as shutting down bars. So, I mean, it is so complicated. I talking about the whole thing as one singular phenomenon, especially when you get into the South, where, I mean, the American South is a strange and colorful place as it is. And every state seems to be coming up with different laws, applying them inconsistently and applying them differently. It's really weird. But somewhere that is also applying weird laws weirdly is parts of inland Eastern Africa, where they have new laws in, what was it?
Which one are you talking about?
We talked about this before the show.
I've been looking at Asia. I thought I was going to pivot to Taiwan, but I didn't realize that you were going.
I was trying to segue. Yeah. Well,
to Africa. Yeah. Well, are you referring to Namibia?
Well, there's the story out of Namibia as well, but it wasn't Uganda. We were talking before the show, and you were saying
was it Guyana?
Guyana. That's right. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. They gave independence in 1966. Yeah. But they're looking at removing one of their former colonial laws that prohibits, it criminalizes consensual same-sex physical intimacy, or what were colloquially known at the time as the buggery laws, which was the name very often of the text itself. I believe that they're in the works of pulling it. You know, and I think this is one of the good news pieces, that we do see the world sort of moving forward at different speeds in different places. You know, Taiwan just rolled out changes to their, I think it was a court decision, now allowing same-sex couples to adopt children that they're not directly related to. Mm-hmm. So effectively opening up same-sex adoption in Taiwan, which is huge for Taiwanese people. So we see a lot of different good news stories. Like, I think the Supreme Court in Nepal is demanding that the government take some action around access to marriage. Mm-hmm. And I believe that last week we mentioned Sri Lanka's Supreme Court decisions as well. So, yeah, they all add up. And I think when taken as a whole, perhaps the world is moving slightly forward in 2023. But
yep.
I don't know, when we see the amount of attention and the amount of fear mongering coming out of places like Florida, for example.
Yeah.
It's hard to have any kind of rosy outlook.
Well, I mean, they're the most interesting ones are the news reports where people are basically summarizing by saying it's not great, but everyone needs to chill. It's not that bad either. We're not being rounded up and thrown into jail. Like, calm down. We're dealing with it. You know, the fear-mongering is only going to make things worse. There have been a lot of calls to keep a cooler temperature, let's say. Because if anything else, you're not going to achieve anything if you're freaking out all the time. You know, panic doesn't help anyone.
No, well, we are definitely keeping an eye on all of these things moving forward. I think that's all the news that I had jotted down. I don't think there's a huge amount happening domestically. It was Ida Hobbit, which is, I think, the best version of this particular thing. Last week, we didn't mention it, but it was the International Day Against Transphobia, Homophobia, Biphobia. It spells out Ida Hobbit. Is the full acronym. You know, back in, you know, do you remember when it was like the Gay Day Against Homophobia, and then it was Ida Hot, and then it was Ida Ho, then it was IHOP briefly, and then it's, I'm a gay man, and I can't keep up with this with the acronym changes. Mm-hmm. So Ida Hobbit is where I've landed now. And I think, look, I have to Google it, what the full... Have you heard Ida Hobbit yet?
The International Day Against Bad Things. Just the International Day Against Being Mean. Let's just roll with that. But I think I is introphobia.
No, I've got... It's here. It's the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia. Ida Hobbit.
Okay. the BI is bisexual, not like B and then an I.
Yeah. So it should be a lowercase I, really.
Okay.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Ida Hobbit. Like, that's, I don't know. It's good. We missed it. We missed the Ida Hobbit. But a lot of companies released their Pride collections as well. So,
like Adidas.
Pretty busy week. What about yourself? Any other news that we may have missed?
Oh, nothing of particular interest, just a little thing that the Japanese diet on the list of countries that are working things out, the diet being the Japanese parliament. They are looking at kind of a Napoleonic style, like any law should apply to everyone, so they're actually going to bring in gay rights through that method. They're still hotly debating a few things to do with workplace rights, but they are coming at it through actually the same path that most of South America did it, of whatever laws we apply, we should apply them consistently. And that's a very Japanese way of doing it, and I'm all about countries modernizing in their own way. So I'm into it. Very small.
Well, I know that Japan was under a lot of pressure from the rest of the G7 recently, including, I believe, both Biden and Justin Trudeau making comments about Japan's role in also leading on social issues such as access to equal rights for trans folks, being the only G7 country that doesn't have the same equal protections as other countries. So yeah, Japan was certainly under pressure recently. So
Nothing
this communication from
explicit.
the Diet is definitely not a surprise.
Yeah, it's really interesting because they have nothing official on the books, but if you look at their human rights track record, they're not doing poorly. They just don't have anything official on the books. It's like police have been pretty good to people in Japan because the police are well trained and generally friendly, not because they're actually being mandated to engage in proper human rights treatments for people. So, I mean, good job if you train your police well, I suppose. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, I think that is quite, I believe that's all we have time for. We are going to be playing out with the last track of the day, which is the one that won. It won Eurovision, spoiler alert. But for many of you, you may not hear it otherwise. Now, Loreen had won before. So Sweden held none of their punches, sending in a previous winner in an attempt to tempt fate twice. You checked out the track Euphoria, the 2012 entry. Do you recall this particular track?
I somewhat do. I don't remember watching the entire grand final in 2012, but I have seen a lot of clips of it, and it makes all the lists of Eurovision winners that people actually like, instead of being, the Eurovision winners that the judges picked and the audience were like them.
Although I do think the judges picked Sweden. I think the audience vote was really going for Cha 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 and Finland, but this was the audience was not mad at it. I think
No,
is what they
yeah.
meant. Yeah.
I think Tattoo, which is the name of the song, I think it either got second or third for the audience vote. So no, the audience wasn't unhappy, but they were gunning for Cha Cha Cha, but yeah, they seemed okay with the fact that Loreen won.
We are playing out with Loreen's Tattoo. I've been Nick Smith.
And I'm Vince Sebastian, and thank you for listening.
Find a way. Violent pain.
felt your heart of gold at your fingertips. All my fears are gone. Could it be where? Felt your heart of gold at your fingertips. All my fears are gone. Could it be where?